What Eagle FM, the Eye. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. A very good morning to you, Namibia. And wherever you find yourself today, good morning and welcome to your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. So thanks for joining us this morning. And it's always a pleasure, as I always said, it's a pleasure for us here at Eagle FM to be in your company, and also for you to choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this morning. So where are you listening us from? And welcome. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you the fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment, it doesn't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversations. So this is your space to unpack headlines and get to the heart of the story. So good morning is the 29th of the 7th month. And the year is 2025. So, and if you're just joining us, welcome. You're most welcome. Get on board. We are still at the very beginning of the show. So this is Unpacking. It's coming to you every Monday to Friday from 7:30 to 9:30. So let's get into our segment of on this day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa? Any significant event or key event that took place on this day throughout the history of Africa? So the 29th, on the 29th of July 1976, the Republic of Seychelles gained independence from the United Kingdom. So this date is celebrated annually as Seychelles Independence Day. So on the very same day, the 29th of July 1960, the Nigerian Independent Act was enacted by the British Parliament, so paving the way for Nigerians' full independence later that year. So the Union Jack was lowered on 30th of September 1960, and the country formally became independent on the 1st of October in 1960. So, on the very same day, on the 29th of July 1974, amid the Guinea-Bissau War of Independence, the Portuguese Armed Force Movement, MFA, issued a declaration endorsing the PAIGC as the sole legitimate representative of the Guinea-Bissau people and applauded their anti-colonial struggle. So the declaration was a major step towards Portuguese recognition of independence a month later. So, and on the 29th July 2024, that's last year, former President Jacob Zuma was expelled from the African National Congress, the ANC, after forming a new political party, Umkhonto weSizwe, MK. So President Zuma was expelled from the African National Congress on the 29th of July of last year. So that's all we have in our segment of On This Day in Africa. So, good morning. Welcome. And what is our thought of the day? What is our thought of the day today on July the 29th? So the thought for the days is the strength of the crocodile is in the water. So the strength of the crocodile is in the water. So the proverb is rooted in a Tsonga or Xitsonga tradition, and it's often rendered in the original Tsonga language, which I learned it from a friend of mine that we studied together, and he said, Matimba yangwenya imati. So the strength of the crocodile is in the water. Matimba yangwenya imati. So that's actually the word in Tsonga. So that's the sense, that's the proverb in Tsonga. So these proverbs highlight that one's strength emerges in familiar in familiar environment, or in a role aligned with one's identity, one's skills or natural inclinations. So when you are in your own domain, you can succeed, and you have to know what is your domain. So this Tsonga proverb teaches that true power is not abstract. So it is contextual. So like the crocodile thrives, that thrives in water, people find their strength when they operate from their natural domain, where identity, skills, and environment aligns. So that's today's thought of the day. So that the crocodile, the strength of the crocodile is in the water. Matiba yangwenya imati. All right. So hopefully, so you find your domain today, so that you maximize your strength, you know, and that is aligned with your identity and skill and your environment. So make sure that you make, I hope that would help you in the choices and decision that you're making throughout the day today. So the strength of the crocodile is in the water. All right. So good morning, if you're just joining us, and welcome to Unpacking the Days. So what you can expect in the show today. So we will be unpacking the Liberation Movement Summit that took place in Johannesburg, where our own very president attended. And our tax policies are vague, according to experts in the area, in the field, and they undermine investor confidence in Namibia. So we're going to look at that as well. And according to United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, UNECA, so foreign aid to Africa are no longer viable. So we're going to look at that as well, if we have enough time. So we will be waiting for you as well to come through. So as part of the program, you are part of this program. So make sure that you tune in, you come through, you contribute on the program as well. So that's what we will have. That's what you can look forward to. And we will be looking at some of those topic. But in the meantime, wherever you find yourself, stay connected with Eagle FM anytime or anywhere. So, and for those who are not actually at this point in time not be able to listen to Eagle FM through the radios, you can download the Eagle FM mobile app through the Google Play and Play Stores. And as we always said, this is not only because you cannot listen to us through the radio, but there are also a lot of things that you can, you know, from the podcast, I mean from the Eagle FM mobile app. So podcasts are there. So if you miss your favorite show, you can always go there, go back and listen to that. So there are also schedules of different shows. You would know when actually this show is on. And vacancies for young people as well. So not only young people that need works, but, you know, vacancies for young people. And we also preparing for regional elections. So go and see what is your political party manifesto is. You might have, you know, just remind yourself. And, you know, as David said, we need to read. So that's how you meaningfully can be able to participate in the dialogue and in the growth of this country. So we need to read. And so, and also the, if you live in the area where I am now, in Ondangwa, so you are in the district of Ondangwa Traditional Authority. So there are also the statute, if you like, of the Ondangwa Traditional Empango, the Rojan Donga. You can also find it there. And those who love, remember your 2023 Namibian population and housing consensus, census report, and, you know, green hydrogen. There a lot. It features a lot of things. I'm just giving you some of those things that you can find there. So make sure that you download that, and definitely you'll be able to see quite a number of features. So, and please do follow us, do follow Eagle FM, and also our e-newspaper, The Villager, on our different social media platforms. So on the X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Telegram, on WhatsApp channel. So, and what you can do also, engage with us on those social media platforms and make sure you leave a comment. We want to hear what are you thinking of? And they're so massive. There's a lot on our Facebook, on our Twitter, on what. So there's so much that we're feeding you with what is going on in the world and in the country and in your community. So now, leave us a like or a comment, because we want to know what do you think as well. And if you are a person that love, you know, economic or business news on daily basis or on regular basis, so get yourself a free copy of The Villager. All right. So, and what you need to do, and I said, this is free. It's a free copy of The Villager. By simply, what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. That's the magic number. So 081-241-44. If you send it there, so surely you will be receiving your copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And for God's sake, it is free. We're not asking you for a cent. We just want to inform you. We just want to update you and inform you and educate you. So make sure that you subscribe by just sending your name and email on that number, 081-241-44. And if you're a business person, or you just want to advertise your business or have your event advertised or function or workshop, anything, a conference, and sometimes maybe you just want that your event receive real-time exposure, you know, via now live streaming or broadcasting. So we, Eagle FM, can definitely do that for you. And all you need to do is contact our office number, 083-288-400. 083-288-400. 083-288-400. So once you do that, you get sorted out. So when we come back, we get into our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Yes, good morning and welcome to the I and welcome to Eagle FM. So, and welcome also. Welcome to Unpacking the Day and the show where we take a closer look at the stories shaping our world. Now, today we are unpacking a very important meeting that just happened down in South Africa, in Johannesburg. So our leaders, including the president Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwah, our president, joined other heads of state from Southern Africa for the Liberation Movement Summit. So, well, now you may thinking, well, that sounds like, so what has been spoken there, it's about, you know, liberation history. but trust me, what they talked about is about our present and our future as well. So now, so these are the parties. These are the parties that brought us freedom or independence. The SWAPO here at home, the ANC, South Africa, ZANU-PF in Zimbabwe, and others also. So, but they gathered because they know the reasons of this gathering. They gathered because they know they are facing a crisis. Declining support, frustrated young people, and economic that aren't working for everyone. So that's why they decided, hey, guys, we need to come together and really discuss this. So we have issues. There's a declining of support. Our support is dwindling. So we have actually a youth that is frustrated. And it doesn't look that our economy is actually are working for everyone, especially for the poor. So they had a big, honest conversation. One could say that. They have a really an honest conversation. And listening to what was said, it's like they were looking in the mirror. It's like they were looking in the mirror themselves. What did they see? And more importantly, what does it mean for you and for me here in Namibia? So let's unpack that. Let's look at some of the things that that were spoken in that summit, because it definitely have impact on our lives and on our country. So the first big flashing headline from this summit is about our money, our resources. It's about our money. It's about money and our resources. Now, the South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa, put it very plainly. So he said, Africa will stay poor if we keep digging our wealth out of the ground and shipping it overseas for other people actually to turn them into a valuable product. Well, that sounds familiar. So we hear that every day, you know, day and night, isn't it? So we hear that all the time. But are we doing anything? So, and that one good thing is that we have leaders talking about it. So that's a very good thing. They are aware about it. Maybe they just don't know how to do it. So, and think about it in Namibia terms. So that's South African president. So think about it in Namibian terms. And we hear this quite often. We mine some of the best diamond in the world. We do. We mine, you know, we have the best diamond in the world. So, and we have vast amount of uranium. We have a rich ocean, but what do we do? The question is, what do we do? For many years, for decades, we have sent the raw, unprocessed stuff out. And we continue doing that. The rough diamond, the yellow cake uranium, and the fish. And then we buy them back. We buy them back finished goods. That's really, it sounds funny, but that's the reality of what happened. So we buy them back, you know, as finished good. The shiny jewelry for our diamond, the fuel for nuclear power plants, you know, the canned fish that we buy, and we buy them at much higher price than the raw material that we exported. So what Ramaphosa is saying, this is actually madness. You must listen to this. You know, this is madness. He's saying this is madness. So the real jobs, the higher skills, the big money is actually in processing. It is in processing. It is in the factories. It is in the technology. It is in the manufacturing. So why aren't we building those things here? Why? And the funny thing is that even the officials, whether the presidents or whatever, They ask the same question that I'm asking. Why? Why can't we build, you know, those things here? And now if the president or, you know, or the ministers, they are asking the same thing, they should be the one that telling us that next year or year before that. So we will be building a factory. We will be a manufacturing factory. We will be having, you know, set up this kind of technology. We will be, you know, but they're asking the same question as we're asking. Why aren't we building, you know, those things here? And they are the one in charge. And they ask the same question as we do. So now, this is not a new idea. Yeah? It's not a new idea. We have had this in Vision 2030 and in different government plans, even in our NDP 6. But the fact that it is the main topic at the summit in 2025, I think it tells you something important. It tells you something important. What is that? It hasn't happened. So that means even if this has been, it's not, as I said, it's not a new idea. It's something that we, you know, for us, we have this vision 2030, and it's only about 5 years now to that vision. And the reasons, as I said, this summit, it tells you that, you know, that really tells you that it hasn't happened, and therefore, kind of like, we failed. guys, we failed. And in an actual fact, you know, that's the case. And which is, as I said, it was an honest looking at ourselves in the mirror, looking themselves in the mirror. Let me talk about them. So looking themselves in the mirror and said, guys, we have failed. Yeah. So up to now, we're still actually stuck. We're stuck in the same economic model we had decades ago. We're still stuck in that same model of economic model. We're stuck in the same economic model. So the question they didn't quite ask is how we break that circle. How do we break that circle when it's so expensive? So when it's so expensive to set up industries, and also, don't forget, and also compete, and also compete globally. This is not just about talking about setting up all this, you know, technology, manufacturing, and factories. It's also that we are competing. When you have an open business, an open market country, so you are competing globally, and we come back from this.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Eagle FM, let's you explain.
All right, welcome back from that. Yes, we're talking, we're unpacking the summit that was attended by our liberation movement that actually took place in Johannesburg. So, as I said, we actually stuck in the same economic model that we that we had for many years. So, and how do we, as I said, how do we break that circle? How do we break that circle? So, okay. So that is the economic problem. So, but then came the really tough part. Okay. So there came a really tough part, the self-criticism, which, I mean, if you look at that, it's a good thing that they, among themselves, they were really be able to look at themselves and look at what they do and be able to say, look, guys, we aren't, you know, we're not doing too well. So, yeah, that self-criticism. This is where things get interesting because our leaders seem to have two different way of looking at the problem. So, on one hand, you have President Ramaphosa, pointing the finger inwards. All right. So he says one of the biggest threat to this liberation movement is actually internal. So he's pointing finger inwards that the problems. So the biggest threat to this liberation movement is internal. And he used the strong words. He used the strong words, corruption and patronage. So, and he said the fight for government jobs. Now, the fight for government jobs and resources has weakened them and made them unable to serve the people. So, and that's very strong, a very, very, very strong statement that the fight for government job that has become now, government job has become now the you know, everybody now is actually fighting for that, you know, for that government job. And we see that in Namibia as well. And resources has now weakened them, have weakened the liberation movement and made them unable to serve the people. That's what President Ramaphosa is saying. And that's actually familiar. It sounds familiar because there's something that we are experiencing here in Namibia. So, and we don't have to go far, you know, to really understand that. So talk about the fish rot scandals. It's a painful example of how public resources can be corruptly diverted. And that in the process destroying the trust and hurting our economy, destroying the trust of the people in the, even in the movement, in the liberation movement, and also hurting our economy. So people started now to feel, oh, okay, you know, these people are corrupt and things like that, you know? So now when leaders talk about fighting over positions, so we can see the division it causes within our ruling party. So Ramaphosa is essentially saying, we have met the enemy. So he's saying that we have met the enemy, and it is us. So the enemy is us. And he's saying that our own house is not in order. He's saying our own house is not actually in order. But then we have the perspective from our own president. All right? Nandi Ndaitwa, the president of Namibia. Now, she focused more on pointing the finger outward. So you remember, Ramaphosa pointed the finger inward. Now, our president pointed the finger outwards. So she spoke powerfully about foreign meddling and evil calls for regime change. You know, she talks about foreign meddling into our politics and the evil who are calling for a regime change of liberation movement. So her argument is that former colonial powers are angry that they lost. So, and they are now using opposition parties and even civil society organizations to try and undermine the government of liberation movement. So now, let's be fair. It is true. Foreign influence in Africa is real. We have to be truthful about that. So it is real that influence, that foreign influence in Africa, it is very, very, very true. So big global powers have always have their own hand or have their own interest in our continent. And we know this from history. So, but here is the million-dollar question for us as Namibian to think about. So are these two separate problems or are they connected? Now, well, Ramaphosa seemed to connect them. So he said that the foreign actors use the legitimate, and this is very interesting, he said that they use the legitimate grievances of our people to attack governments. You know? So they use the legitimate grievances of our people. Actually, then they find that opportunity to be able to attack the government. So think about what that means. So now it means this. If people are angry about corruption, if young people have no jobs, if service delivery is failing, you know, that creates an open door. So it gives now the outside critics, omissions. It gives them now some kind of omissions to attack. So now you can't just blame the wolf. In English, they say you can't blame the wolf for howling at the door. You can't blame the wolf for howling at the door because you are the one who left it unlocked. So now the movement, the liberation movement, you know, because they are failing in terms of, you know, because of the corruption, of dealing with the corruptions, because of young people have no jobs, and also the service delivery is failing. So that creates an open door. it gives now the outside critics the, as I said, the weapon, the ammunition to attack. So, is the main problem foreign interference? Is that the main problem? Or is the main problem the internal corruption and failure that allow foreign interference to have an effect? Think carefully. Then we have to think. Sometimes we just talk. So there was so much more we can actually learn from that summit when you really go into what transpired. So, and this is my question. Is the main problem the internal corruption and failure and a service delivery failing that allow now the foreign interference to have any effect? So that's a critical debate. That's a critical debate. So blaming outside is easy. Looking in the mirror is really, really, really hard for anyone. For any one of us. Now, finally, and maybe most importantly, so this summit talked about young people, right? It talked about young people. Ramaphosa admitted there is a massive disconnect between the older generation of the leaders and the youth. So he said young people see less of the past victories. You know, those past victories, those liberation victories. So they see less of that and more of the present shortcomings. So they're looking at more the shortcomings, the government, how the government are failing now, rather than actually looking at the past victories of those liberation movements. So, and this hit the nail on the head, as they said. For a young person in Katutura or somewhere in Kietmanshoop or here who is unemployed, a story about liberation struggle in the 1980s, in the 1980s, it doesn't pay the rent. That's how they see it. It doesn't pay the rent. It doesn't put food on the table. So now, Ramaphosa called the impatience of young, of the youth, a good thing. He called that as a good thing and something that should drive change. So that's a good thing. It should be something that drives change. And in this is a direct challenge to the old guard. Now, this is the direct challenge to the old guard, to the, liberation stalwart. The support of the young or the support of the youth can no longer be taken for granted. We see it in our politics with the rise of new political movements and independent. Sometimes we have those independent, we had those independent candidates who are attracting young voters tired of the old way of doing things. So now the message is clear. Adapt or become irrelevant. That's the message. So adapt or become irrelevant. You cannot be a custodian of yesterday's glory when today's youth are struggling. And if you listen to me as a politician, as an old stalwart, or as a veteran politician or something, so the message is clear. And this is coming from the summit of our leaders in this liberation movement. Adapt or become irrelevant. That's something that we need to learn. So you cannot be a custodian of yesterday's glory when today's youth are struggling. So what is the takeaway for us here in Namibia? What is really our takeaway? Now, the leader are saying the right things. Yes, they are saying the right things. They're acknowledging the economic trap we are in. Okay? They are talking about corruption, some more directly than others. And they know they have a youth crisis on their hands. So, but talking is one thing, action is another. So we will see a real concrete plan to start processing our resources. Eh? Will we? So that's now the question. Will we see a real and concrete plan to start processing our resources? We have NDP6, but is it concrete enough? Is it explicit enough? So will we see a genuine, no holds bar, war, a war on corruption? Even when it involved powerful people. Well, we seem to have started. And will we see a real opportunity created for young Namibians, giving them a stake in this country's future? So the summit is over. The leaders are back, like our president is back. Now the real work begins. And we, the people, will be watching, especially unpacking the day. We will be watching. All right. So I think you have been knocking on my door. So I wanted to finish that. And if you want to now comment or have your say or your comment on this, you're most welcome now to come through. My telephone number 08333 66091. 08333 66091. So you're most welcome now to come through. My line now is open. Igrefe, welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine. You are very far, man. We can't hear you properly. You sound so far. Yeah, now you can.
It was on the speaker.
Okay.
On the back, I put my earphones. Let me just back here. Listen.
Yeah.
The liberation movement.
Mm.
Look, I don't think anything was supposed to be irrelevant.
Yeah.
The only thing that have happened over the years is we bought too much in. The liberation movement never used their intended their intended plan of reparation.
Mm.
When the reparation was done, they diverted from the reparation norms and the plan, which is land. Because then the same liberation movements, when they came back, they didn't want to give the land to the people.
Yeah.
You see, they started fighting. The people, they said, we are going to reparate because we are going for reparation for what? For land. Is it?
Yeah.
Now, you can see there is a vast amount of land that is not used. But then you have got a lot of people who have got some of them, not all of them, but some have got the skills to use the land properly.
Yeah.
Secondly, after reparation, we started consuming what we don't produce.
Hmm.
And these are things we can see. Thirdly, We did not create our own institutions where we could generate funds.
Yeah.
But we were taught the leaders were given shares in those multi-million company.
Yeah.
This is where they got the shares. So it was when they were taught, now it's you. You went to rebellion. If you are here, you can eat with us. You see?
Come on the table.
God is for all of us, but man for himself. And this is where they diverted a little bit. Now, time is going to catch up with them, but it's not yet too late. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not too late. Where should they start? I listened to our president when she's talking about the current government, when they're talking about the banks must start trying to understand that the charges they charge to the people.
Yeah.
It should be beneficial to the community.
Yeah, something I spoke about yesterday, yeah.
Yes, but look at it this way now. How do we benefit from the banks? We don't benefit from these banks, to be honest with you. That's why I've always advocating for that social responsibility must be, if possible, put in the constitution.
Yeah.
Secondly, they are saying the problem is corruption. Who is corrupt? It's not the people.
Yeah.
Will you find a villager, a person in the village, being corrupt?
Mm.
What is it that they are corrupt of? They don't have access to the coffers of the council of the state. Who is corrupt? The same people are saying it's corruption. Now, if we, let's look at Tate Ramaphosa. I don't have my our president, Ramaphosa. He had money in his chauffeur. If it was found by an individual, the law does not allow to have that money.
Yeah.
So him being a leader who is one to preach corruption, why couldn't he say, no, I think guys here, I'm guilty. Eh?
Mm.
In as much as I'm guilty, I'll step out because I think I've betrayed my trust. The trust you people you put in me. You understand?
But you know, the problem that I have, né, or the issue that I have is this.
Yes.
We, even our leader, they seem to say the right thing, you know.
Yes.
They seem to know what need to be done. But when they speak, they also speak like us, that this is what need to be done. This is what, they
it's
don't.
Like we are all of us, we are complaining.
Yeah. They don't speak in terms to say next year, in a year from now, we will be doing A, B, C, D, and this, you know. They're talking about,
yes,
why don't we have manufacturing? Why don't we have factories? Why don't we have this? Why don't? Instead of saying, no, we are planning to have a factory on this, on a next, in 2 years, we are planning to have this manufacturing camp, whatever the case may be. But
yes,
they also talking in a suggestive way, in the way we talk. And
yes,
that's concerning. That's really concerning.
Some of our leaders, I'll give credit to the current president, to our current president.
Yeah.
I'm giving credit. Because listen, she have made the timeline. Say, health care.
Yeah.
And there are two things you should not privatize in the country. Okay, actually three.
Mm.
Agriculture. Eh? Should be state.
Yeah.
Healthy. Should be state. Education should be state. Don't privatize these three. Because that's where your life, the livelihood of your people depends.
Yeah.
Yes. If these three, the state takes care of them. That's why you see, if you look at Putin or Xi Jinping, when they came into power, or when Putin came into power, you could see that Moscow by the time of Yeltsin, Brezhnev, is it? When he was in power, how Russia was, is it? And when Putin took over, you see, this is what I told someone. I said, look, the moment you go and you start motivating for people to extend your contract, be it at work or wherever, extend your contract, eh?
Yeah.
Then you know you did not perform.
Yeah.
Yes. If you have performed, let me tell you one thing. If the member, if she, the way she's with this current government, the way it's doing it, eh? It's the people themselves who will say, no, I think we need more time for the member. The way the people are saying to Traore. Why? The results are speaking to the people.
Mm.
Yes,
but the people that are assisting are sitting with the system. They are benefiting, and no matter how much you bang on saying on the right thing, the people that are sitting with systems, they don't move, and
yes,
we remain, you know, circling around the same thing over and over and over.
And that's why actions must be done. Like, look, if we want to make sure we can have our own economy and control it.
Mm.
Currently, the banks, they like Standard Bank, FNB, Net Bank, their head offices are away. They are in South Africa.
Yeah.
Everything is controlled from there. So whatever the post we put in, the revenue, whatever, is not counted here. It's counted in South Africa.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. So why can't we come up with a plan of the government must say, okay, NAMPOST, give the Minister of Finance, let's say, for example, give the Minister of Finance, before December, we need to have our own bank.
Yeah.
Which is NAMPOST must be upgraded to commercial bank level. Now, it will be up to the people to decide. We are not going to force everybody. We are saying, you decide where you are going. Now, make the charges of NAMPOST reasonable. Because these banks, they collude. They say, okay, our charges will be like this. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Then, wherever you go, whichever bank you want to go to, the same treatment. And all of them, they lie that it's Bank of Namibia in NAMPISA. Is it? So, if we have got the NAMPOST and the charges are, people decide, they'll start banking with NAMPOST. When you bank with NAMPOST, that money, which is for NAMPOST, belongs to the nation.
Hmm.
The deposit and whatever private they are going to make, then government can also now run program. And NAMPOST must be government owned. The CEOs and the management must not pay themselves, at the expense of others.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. And that's what we should do. So actions who speak better than. You see, because if the same government is saying this and that, we are complaining.
Yeah.
But I'm happy with the way you're saying Nakatel. If you look at Nakatel, to me, it's a big, that thing, eh? It is great.
Yeah.
And Namibia must be, we should claim it back. Why am I saying so? Eh? The same company which is flying Namibia, the customers it's using, they never came from anywhere. They were in Namibia.
Yeah.
When we close Air Namibia, the same people are the ones who are using that airline. So why should we take another airline from another country, eh, to come and make money out of us?
Mm.
And then we complain. No. Let's have a fleet of small planes. We have got airports. That Ketmansop, I was there, man, that airport is huge.
Yeah.
You know, you can have flights that big airplanes that can go there.
Yeah, that's a big open space. You can make it even bigger.
My brother, yeah. The runway there is for those like the Boeing.
Yeah.
The Boeing will be able to take off from that Ketmansop airport. Not this Osakutako.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Not this one. What? Eros. Eros is, the runway is always so short.
Yeah, no,
the
it's
one
so,
for
Ketmansop, yeah.
It's huge.
Mm.
You know, these small planes there, before they reach the middle of that runway, they'll take off.
Yes. Yeah.
If the small plane, like even the Airbus, won't go to the far end of the runway. Before it reaches the half, it will take off.
Yeah, no. When it was constructed, it was not meant actually for big airplane. So, yeah.
No, for Esakutako, yes. For Eros.
Eros, yeah. Mm.
Yes, no, I'm saying, if you look at the runways of for Ketmansop Airport, eh?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If we upgrade that one, and then we direct tourists to go start landing that side of some planes, then we create economy in that area. You get my meaning? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Because then tourists, sometimes they might start off there, then they come here towards inland, and then when they go back, they have to go take off from that side.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And what is this? Osakutako. Then you have created a point of business also, where now the community in that area, the people of that area, also benefit from the economy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Mm. And that's what we should do. We should stop complaining, because we are listening to them. The ideas are good, but we are looking at it as, oh, but we are also complaining. All of us now, we are complaining. Now, who is going to do what?
Exactly.
Because and all of us, at least me and you, we don't have power.
Mm.
But those now who are in power, why can't we change these things?
Yeah.
Corruption. Let's put corruption in the way she said it, where the president is advocating for it. Let it go into the constitution.
Yeah.
The moment it's there, you get a moment, we have corruption.
Mm.
We don't need even anti-corruption because we have put corruption in the constitution.
All right.
Yes. Thank you very much.
No, thanks for coming through. Yeah?
Mm.
All right.
Well, let's put it in constitution, and then if it's in a constitution, so, well, if you break the constitution, so definitely that's treason, as the president said. So, all right. So, yeah, that's a summit, and there were really, really, really good take from the summit, and what are your thoughts? You can still actually come through for that. Our telephone number is 0808-333-66-091. 0808-333-66-091. So, all right, let's get to the next caller.
Good morning. We're going to unpacking the day.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine, thank you.
Mm.
Yes, it's good to...
There's an echo where you are, ne? You're not really very clear. We can hear you, but there's some kind of an echo. Go ahead and see what it's happened, yeah.
Is it fine now?
Yeah, a bit fine, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's very important to re-examine ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, we are... how we are moving and things like that. Anyway, we are actually direct self.
Yeah.
So now, if they are to examine, you mentioned about President Ramaphosa.
Yeah.
Talking about people taking advantage or the legitimate complaint, concern of our people. I agree. Yeah, because people take advantage of the poverty to instigate some social or political chaos. And that has been known, it's a known fact. And you said our president is pointing away outside.
Yeah, no, no. He's saying that, look, you know, yeah, there are influences also or interference that is coming outside as well. Both are right. Yeah, there is. We need to look ourselves internal. There are things that we are doing that that are not helping ourselves, and there are also things that are coming from outside that, you know, that also interfering with our growth, with our development. Yeah.
Yes, that is the point.
Yeah.
People now come through and then now take advantage of the poverty. Of course, there are issues, social issues, economic issues that our countries are facing, like unemployment and many other issues. Of course, those actually are root causes of some of these issues. Because when you look at the sectors of production, many, many of them, people have no access to those. And for us to address that, the concession is clear. Of course, there's no way you can discriminate or maybe take away things that were taken, though they were stolen, taken by force from our people when they used to be, you know, when they were colonized and all these other issues. Those areas are still not giving us good fruits because they are still in the hand of the previous advantaged people.
And remember, we want to get somewhere, like we wanted to get to Vision 2030, but we, in actual fact, we're still actually using the colonial systems, much of the colonial system. So we haven't really changed much of the systems.
You're talking about the model of economy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know which one you were referring to, since there are a lot of models that can be viable. There are those that are not working. For example, the one for the in the past, for example, during that that time when they introduced, they have actually introduced this structural economic adjustment or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Where they want the government to downsize, you know, the governance system. So the people, most of the people must be employed, I mean, must be retrenched. And these are, this also created some kind of informal economy. Most of our peoples are depending. And of course, I haven't read that one. I heard it from Mr. Shombe when he was here this morning talking about the health summit. And I'm sure there are also areas that have got more potential to absorb the people in employment. I don't know, maybe they talk about agriculture, they talk about whatever. Yesterday you were to have an interview. I don't know whether that interview took place.
Yeah. The opportunity are massive. The opportunities are massive, really.
If the opportunity are massive, if the opportunity are massive and the problems are massive, can't we then see how we can turn those problems into massive opportunities that you are talking about? And how do we do that? Do we need to mobilize ourselves or organize ourselves? Because sometimes I have just observed that many a times we seem not to be organizing ourselves.
Yeah, but we also have to understand that we are competing globally as well. So
no, how do you compete globally if you are scattered? So you must first organize yourself.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Come together, and then you are now able to defend or compete successfully with the global world.
Yeah.
Those who are coming outside. But if you are standing on individual basis, this one is doing its own thing, this one is doing its own thing.
You know, exactly as what Ramaphosa said, our house is not in order. Let first actually organize our house, put our houses in order. That means in our own countries and also in Africa, you know, then we can become a very strong together as a continent, you know, to the world.
See, so if, for example, I'm now getting to the conclusion. If, for example, the reason why they are saying no, Namibia doesn't have the capacity in construction, in where, of course, there are areas where we really need capacity. We might not have this technical expertise, know-how. But then, if we say, for example, we put our company, we know this kind of partnership. So if we form up our partnership and also within ourselves here, and then now look at, okay, what is it that we do not have that might put us at the disadvantage level? Then we now say, fine, those who have got maybe the technical know-how, the knowledge and the home, maybe the equipment and things like that, we can still team up together with them and say joint ventures. How do we create some ventures, joint ventures with the foreign companies and things like that? And if we don't do that, we're not able to have the capacity to do that because we can have the people around here, the labor and the little skill that we have or knowledge that we have. But those big companies that are coming maybe from China or wherever, we say, yes, here we are. And I think the government is also facilitating that thing. I heard from the Minister of Trade and what is it, industrialization or whatever small medium industries or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
So they're also facilitating. They have a role to facilitate those ventures. They identify the market for us as well. I've heard about from them. And they also can also now see, oh, this is our people. They are lacking in this area. Can we not facilitate and negotiate for the joint venture for them? So some of these areas within ourselves, our internal organization, even the matters, because the organization here also talk about the villages. Really. If we have the villages, we have the structures that are there, because there are existing structures that are there that we can capitalize or build on, and the leadership, in the community engagement with the leaders, in the local authorities, wherever we are, in our village there. So what is really preventing us from that?
All right.
Cool.
Mm. All right. Our telephone number, if you want to come through and have your say, especially when it comes to the summit of the liberation movement that took place in Johannesburg, and some of the things that I talked about, that I just actually highlight that coming out of that. Very interesting, different perspectives, different aspect coming out of that. So, yeah, if you want to comment on that, and if you want to be, you know, have your say, even just about, you know, that summit, and if you read it somewhere and you want to, and you want to make a comment or a react to what we have just said now, and those who have called through. 0833-66091 is the number you can call into the studio. Yes. All right. So we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. Maybe I can start. I can, you know, can make music. But I'm not going to sing. I will just talk. You know, I would just talk. My music will be just talking. There will be an instrument in the background. So, but then I'll be just talking, you know. Because I'm not a good singer, definitely. All right. Good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Where are you listening us from? And when are you connected? Where are you connecting to us from? So, well, you're most welcome, and our time is about 37 minutes past the hour of 8, and this is Unpacking the Day, and we go our way all the way up to 9:30, so you're most welcome, and stay tuned. So now we tend to, you know, sometimes you see these headlines. Okay, they look complicated, full of big words like fiscal policy, transfer pricing, you know, and it's easy to just turn the page and switch off the channel or switch the channel, you know. So it's easy to do that because this is boring or this is, you know, this is too much. But today we're not going to do that. So we're not going to do that. The story making the rounds, and it's basically big, flashing red light for our economy. And we're going to look at that. So now the headline says, tax uncertainty undermining investor confidence in Namibia. So, but what it really mean? What does it really mean? It actually, what it means is this, in a simple term, are we accidentally scaring away the money? Are we accidentally scaring away the money and the companies that could create job here? So let's hear what the caller have to say.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm good.
Mm.
Liberation movement.
Yep. So it was fair enough to them, really. Normally, when you listen to Nangangwa goes on, you know, liberation and things, but you listen to our president and also Ramaphosa, they really spoke about things that we're experiencing now and look at ourselves and really start to do things differently. I think it was an honest communication. It was an honest communication, an honest really saying where we are and we need to make and we need to really to change.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm.
It is true, even though I think the nationals or the inhabitants of these liberation countries, liberation movement countries, they have lost trust in these liberation movements, so to say.
Yeah.
The purpose of them to liberate our countries was to, you know, to root away these corruptions and also to avoid the rooting away of our natural resources to our colonizers.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make sure that at least anything that is being retrieved from the that we get from the natural resources is used, it's also used within our countries also to build our country.
Yeah.
But then are we really achieving that? And who are these people who are maybe benefiting directly from these resources?
Yeah, we actually just replace the colonizers with our own people.
with our own people, yes.
Yeah.
And now if you look at the, like here in Namibia, we can't talk.
Mm.
We have a lot of examples of how these people want to eat.
Yeah.
And how they want to benefit from the natural resources here. These are their own project. Meaning that just because they liberated Namibia, just because they liberated the southern part of Africa,
yeah,
I don't know for how long are they going to stay on power to say that now at least we have eaten and then this is enough is enough.
Mm.
Because and I don't know for how long are we going to continue paying them for them to liberate our countries.
Yeah.
Because it's like this corruption which they are doing is another way of paying them back their effort to liberate us.
Mm.
But then for how long?
But that, first of all, when you look at Namibia, we have put up system that should guard that, actually. You know, we have ACC, and also we also have a system in place that that should be able to deal with that. But the question is, how, you know, the whole question is the whole question of implementation, the whole question of enforcement. Do we enforce those policies? Do we enforce those laws and rules that are there? And those who need to enforce that, are they benefiting from that for not actually enforcing it? So, and those are some of the I think the questions that we need to have and discuss.
When you talk about ACC, if you remember, there was this minister, James Sankwasa.
Yeah.
He's also from the same liberation movement, same liberation movement party that is ruling Namibia.
Yeah.
If they are saying that it is toothless.
But that's a good thing. That's actually a good thing, where you have someone from the same company, from the same institution, I mean, from the same institution saying, you are not doing your work. That's what we want to hear.
But then who are the employers?
Yeah.
Who are the employers of the director generals? Who are the people who should make sure that that ACC works?
Yeah, well,
again.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you have to think, look, when you began now, when you have an ACC, for example, so let's say, for example, SWAPO as an organization cannot actually say, hey, you're not doing your work. They can, but in terms of enforcing that, it's not within them anymore. It's within now the government. You understand? And if the government is not doing anything to say, we remove you because you're not actually doing what we expect you to do, then that continue. Can we just hold on? Just hold on for a quick break, for a commercial break. Yeah.
Every year, someone turns 18 years old. For all Namibian citizens who have just turned 18 years, now is your time to begin your voting journey. Just take the first and most important step to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This voter registration process will allow you to vote in the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
All right. So there are multiple systems within the government to help the government actually fulfill its mandate. So, but sometimes those systems don't work. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the problem we have.
I think, suppose we become mature like Zambians, that could be better.
Yeah.
You know, Zambia, the movement, the liberation movement, the one that liberated Zambia.
Yeah.
It was UNIPI,
eh? Yeah.
It's UNIPI.
Which one is
now,
it?
Just because it was UNIPI, yes, for the one for KK.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. But now, if you go into Zambia now and ask about UNIPI, you can't get it anyway.
Mm, exactly.
It's done and, they are done and dusted. And this is the same thing which is supposed to be also be happening also in other liberation countries movement here. You know, if their project can't work, why can't we look for the other alternatives?
Mm. But they need to move with time. It's not just you were a liberation or a liberation movement, but now you are in now independent Namibia. So definitely you need to transform yourself to be able to address the need of the country at this point in time. So you can't start still having the same ideas you have 30 years ago. No, definitely that wouldn't work. Yeah.
Yes, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I think like for Namibia, we are still very far. I don't know.
Yeah.
When are we going to be economical independence? Because, you know, we are still a province of SA.
Yeah.
Meaning that here, even when we speak about industrializing Namibia,
it
will take some, maybe another 50 years for Namibia to be industrialized, like our vision says. But now, if you go to Zambia now, they did not discover any oil.
Yeah.
But I think it was yesterday when I was listening to the Edmonds Scoop.
Mm.
Yeah. They are saying that they are going to have a refinery there in Zambia now.
Mm.
mean that they are going to have a refinery, and then the oil which is going to be refined there, it will be from the European countries that side.
Yeah. And that's become a problem now to us. If you have Zambia having a refinery earlier than us, then they will be importing, you know, oil from, you know, from Europe. So that becomes a really a problem for us. Yeah.
It is true. You know, and we lost another opportunity. Remember Angola also invited us that, no, let us join hands here to have this refinery here, so that at least Once your mines also start mine those oils, then you're going to be, you know, helped using this same facilities with what is here in Angola.
Mm.
But we, you know, we turn the blind eye on that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why you see, the problem of the country of Namibia that we are still under the remote control of SA. So whatever process that we have to do here, it has to be monitored by SA.
Not really remote control. I'd probably say we have deliberately probably have been depending on SA for many things, and we never really cared to think about this way. You know, you remember when we have been, you know, for years when we have this program, PEPFAR and Global Fund supporting our program, especially when it comes to HIV, TB and malaria in the country. So for years we have been depending on this, and we never really cared to kind of think this might come to an end at some one point. We should be ready for that. So, and then all of a sudden something just happened. Boom. And then we have been relying on that. So it's the same thing. There has been so many things that we have been relying on South Africa, because the same company in South Africa are the same here, the same bank are the same here. So it's kind of like there's nothing that we needed to change.
There's nothing. And we won't change. We won't change. Something. We won't change.
Yeah.
As long as we are still having those strong ties with SA, Namibia won't grow. Namibia won't have bigger industries. Namibia will not have refineries, whatever industries here.
Yeah.
We won't have those things. I remember last time I was talking to one economist, one who is working in the National Planning Commission. I was asking him, why can't we have like the industries that deals with these minerals here?
Mm.
He said, here we can't have those things because they're already there in the SA.
Yeah.
Our process prohibits us to have those type of industries here.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah. All right.
Alright, thank you, my brother.
Thank you for coming through.
Thank you, bye.
Alright. Alright. Yes, you can come through as well. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. And you can have your perspective, have your reaction to our earlier discussion. We are talking about the summit, the Liberation Movement Summit that took place in Johannesburg. All right. So, and we were also getting to another topic that is actually about the tax uncertainty undermining the investor confidence in Namibia. So that's where we were. And my question is that when you're looking at this, is are we, let's look at the story itself, are we accidentally, without knowing, scaring away the money, scaring away companies that could create job in our country? So you're most welcome to come through. And if you want to still comment on the Liberation Movement Summit, so you're most welcome. So you can just come through at any time. So I will, my line remain open and we can discuss either something that I'm talking about right now or anything else that you want to discuss, especially these two items that we're busy with. Now, so let's look at some concerning point or critical point, if you like, raised through this report. So, all right. So
A bunch of experts, you know, got together in Windhoek. These are economists, tax specialists, the people who live and breathe this kind of stuff. Okay. And they laid out a pretty serious warning. Let's start with the first big problem pointed out. Something called a double taxing agreement. Double taxation agreement. So stay with me. Stay with me. It's simpler than it sounds. Okay. I'm also not a finance person, but I needed to research that as well and see to make it simpler for you. All right. Now, let me give you an example. So that it's only way you can understand. So this is something, this is the problem they pointed out. The problem of double taxation agreement. Now, imagine a big company, okay? A company from Germany wants to build, let's say, a factory in Namibia. Now, that's great news, isn't it? So, now, that means construction jobs, factory jobs, money flowing into our country. And so they come here, they set up, and they make a profit. Naturally, they have to pay tax on that profit to our government and to NAMRA. Fair enough. All right? Now, when they want to send the rest of their profit back home now to Germany, the German government might say, hey, welcome back. Now, pay tax on that profit here. So the German government now also say, well, pay tax on that profit here too. Now, so the company get taxed twice on the same money. So double taxation agreement. Now let me ask you. So if you were that company, would you be excited to be invested? Would you be excited to invest in a country where your profit get eaten up twice? Would you? Probably not. So you would look for a country that has a deal or a treaty to prevent that from happening. So, and that is the problem. So these experts are saying that's the problem. And one expert, a man named Sevenham, basically said Namibia doesn't have enough of this modern agreement. So we don't have enough of this modern agreement. So our network is small. We are not making it easy or safe for big investors to bring their money here. So it's like we put up a close for business, that tag, you put up a tag or a sign, close for business sign, but we put it on the door without even realizing it because of our system. Yeah? Now, he also mentioned that even when our government offers incentives, like a tax holiday, to attract investors, that rules are often unclear. It is not predictable. And if there is one thing big money hates, it is uncertainty. They want to know the rule of the game before they play. They don't want to rely on who you know or a special deal that could change after the next election. So they want clear, solid, predictable rules. So are we providing that? The expert said, not really. We're not really providing that. So now, let's quickly, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will be talking about something called transfer pricing. and how some companies might be using a loophole to pay almost no tax at all here in Namibia, and what that has to do with you. That has to do with me. So don't go anyway. We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, welcome back. So welcome back to Unpacking the Day. And our time is about 58 minutes past the hour of 8. So, and we are breaking down a report that says our country tax system is holding us back. So before the break, we talked about how lack of tax treaties, you know, can scare away investors. Now, let's talk about another complicated sounding term the experts use, transfer pricing. And again, I'll make it simple. Let's make it simple together. So if you're listening, you can help me as well. So now let me use another example of a company. Imagine a giant global company that sells, let's say, smartphone. Okay? So the head office is in a country with very, very low taxes. Which country have low taxes? Like Ireland. Okay? So now, when I had a break, actually, this is the what I wanted. Let's have a quick break and we'll come back.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know. You love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Because the U in UNAM is you. That always get to me. That's a nice, kind of a nice, slang or whatever, or tag. All right. So we're talking about these are the experts who come together in Windhoek, and they're talking about that, you know, our tax system is holding us back, and they're highlighting few things that are actually holding us back. One of that is actually transfer pricing. Okay. So the transfer pricing, and I was given an example. I said, imagine a global company that sells cell phones. All right. So the head office is a country with a very low tax, with low taxes. And I give an example of Ireland. So they have a smaller branch right here in Windhoek, or right here in Ondangwa, right? Actually, right here in Namibia. All right. That sells the phones to us, you know, to us Namibian. Now, so the head office in Ireland sell the phone to Namibian branch for, let's say, 9,900 each. All right. Now, the Namibian branch then sell the phone to you, okay, to us for a 10,000, okay, Namibian dollar. So how much profit did the Namibian branch make? So only 100 per phone. So the profit they make is 100 per phone. And they pay tax now on that 100 dollar. And that actually is peanuts. Absolutely peanuts. So now the real profit, the huge markups, it could be makeup as well. So the huge markup, you know, was made on paper back in Ireland, where the taxes are lower, you know, where the taxes were low. So, you see the trick? You see the trick? So, it is a way for big international company to shift their profit out of country like ours and avoid paying their fair share of a tax here. So, and the problem is that the experts are saying, they said our rules on these are underdeveloped. They are underdeveloped. We don't have the detailed guidelines or the local expertise to properly police this kind of tricks. So we have the intention, to follow global standard, but we are not enforcing it properly. So that's not according to me. That's not me. I'm just, you know, relaying what the experts are saying. So now, and so that means we're not enforcing that properly as we should, and that's the one of the gap. But they said, well, we have the intention to do that, but we don't have the capacity to enforce it properly. And this is where also he said something that really, really, really hit me. Okay, so he said, investors seek predictability, you know, predictability, not political discretion. So they look for predictability, not political discretion. So think about that. Okay. It means serious companies want a country with clear, fair rules for everyone. So they don't want a country where you have to make a special deal with a powerful person to get things done. Because that is not stable. So that is not stable. A system based on who you know rather than what the law says, it's actually a risk system. It's a risk system. So, and that's something that they put, that's actually some of the things that happen is based actually on the powerful person, you know, rather than on the law. So those are things that actually these experts, some have they pick up. And this brings us to the second expert. All right. So an expert as a well-known Namibian economist, Roland Brown. So he took this idea further, even further. Now, so he talked about what he called ideological policymaking. Okay? Ideological policymaking. I think we have to follow. Okay? He said we are too focused on symbolic things. Okay? We are too focused on symbolic things, like who owns the company on paper, instead of focusing on what really matters. And what is that matters? What is that really matters? Creating jobs, opportunities for Namibians. But we focus more on, you know, who owns the company. We need to see that on papers and things like that. Well, that's something that's a campaign that's going on that you need to register. And so that this is for money laundering. And it's actually, you know, pushed by, you know, by international institutions. Now, he asked a very powerful question. And I'm paraphrasing here. So, what does the most Namibians want? What do most Namibians want? So do they want to own a 5% share in a company that is struggling to survive? Or do they want a good, dignified job in a successful, growing company that pays well and on time? So I said, I'm paraphrasing. So for the person struggling, I mean, definitely for many Namibians who are struggling to put food on the table, the answer is pretty clear. So the answer is quite pretty clear. Now, he's suggesting that some of our policies are more about looking good on paper about ideological purity. So it's about ideological purity that, rather than about creating a real economic growth that lifts people out of poverty. So, well, it's a tough message to hear. It's a tough message to hear. But is he wrong? Is he really wrong? Eh? That's why we are so praised in the world that we have, you know, the policies, the constitution, everything perfect. One of the best in the world. Eh? So he's right. And even when it comes to, you know, to economic policy, to tax policies, as that's what we focus on. He said some of our policies are more about looking good on paper. Eh? About ideological purity than about creating really economic growth that lifts people out of poverty. So, and I don't think he's wrong about that. And we always praise for our policy and things like that, but are they really, you know, getting us out? So we have good policy, but we're still actually poor. We still see poverty. We still see no difference. Or if there is difference, it's so too slow. Eh? So let's make our final break. When we come back, we will look at the shocking number taxes, that Namibia's taxes are among the highest in the world. So yet our unemployment is through the roof, as we know. And how is that possible, actually? So we connect the dots right after this.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandi toma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupipira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwe po yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onarahita tuimwe. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Michael Chauvelle here. And we are digging into a tough but necessary conversation about our economy. So let's get to the knockout punch. Okay? Let's get to the knockout punch, which I refer to as a knockout punch. The part that should make every single one of us sit up and pay attention. And I hope you are. I hope you are really paying attention. So now, the economist, Roland Brown, pointed out that Namibia has one of the highest tax to GDP ratio in the world. In the world. All right? Now, let's cut through the jargon now. Okay? So all that means is that for the size of our economy, our government collect a massive amount of money in taxes. So we are one of the most heavily taxed nation on the planet. Not in the world, on the planet. One of the most heavily taxed on the planet. Planet Earth. I'm not just talking about the world. The world is, you know, I'm talking if you go to Mars, if you go to Venice, if you go to, you know, Jupiter, we will be still one of the heavily taxed nation in the universe. Okay, let me extend to that. So, all right. So you would think with all the tax money pouring in, we would have like amazing services, low unemployment, and really booming economy, right? Wrong. Absolutely wrong. All right? So, you know, our unemployment rate is over 50%. and we are collecting record amount of tax. So, but more than half of our people who want to work cannot find a job. So how can both of these things be true at the same time? Now, according to Brown, then, this shows we don't have an income problem. All right? So listen carefully. So I paid attention. So when we read, we must always read between the lines. So now, it shows that we don't have an income problem. The government has income. It has income. The problem that we have a priority and spending problem. So we have a priority and spending problema.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine, fine. unemployment.
Yeah.
50% plus.
Exactly. That's when you're using the broader definition, yeah.
Yeah, but you see, maybe sometimes we should understand this. You see, if you look, okay, in Namibia itself, if you look at people who are employed full-time,
yeah,
and you look at people, like, let me say, who are doing business.
We're going to have a quick commercial break, and then you can come back.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia provides an opportunity for all eligible voters who did not register in the previous voter registration process. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This will allow all eligible Namibian citizens to participate in the 2025 Regional Council and Local Authority elections. If you are an 18 years or older Namibian citizen without a valid voter's card, and if you are able to identify yourself, then don't miss this opportunity to register as a voter. Democracy thrives through participation. Get involved, step up, and register to vote.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests.
All right, okay. So, let's go ahead.
Let me say, those whom we call self-employed, do we look at that statistic also? Because if you see taxi owners, like taxi drivers, and those, do we also classify them as employees?
I think the informal sector, the informal employment, as it's looked at differently. I think there are also datas, I think, that look at that separately. So that also come into equation, but then it's looked at differently. Yeah.
Yes, but because in Namibia we only believe if you say someone is employed.
Mm.
Is the one who go and work 8 to 5 or work for someone.
Mm.
You see, even you, if you say, okay, maybe you have something, maybe you are selling kapana, even in the family, they will not classify you as someone who is employed. You see?
Yeah.
Where does he work? When you say that, no, he sells kapana, say, no, he's fine, let him be. That one is struggling. You see?
Mm. But what if you have a taxi? It's fluid. That's actually fluid in a way that, let's say, for example, you have a taxi and it's broken tomorrow.
Yeah.
Are you off the, you know, are you off the employment, you know? It's very difficult. That's why.
It's the same like retrenchment and dismissal. You see? It's the same. You see, look, what I'm saying is sometimes we should also understand. You might find someone who's selling kapana getting more than a person who's employed in a retail.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yes, but the thing is, we exclude even these long distance bus drivers or owners.
Yeah.
How much do they make per month? You see? You see, but we don't, maybe we must try also to go to that and implement something to say, okay, they must also be classified as employees. Maybe in terms of how they are hired, you see? It's not now, maybe they don't need the requirement apart from a license or whatever, and PDP, that's it. But let us also try to bring them in so that we see.
Yeah.
Because if you can see, if you can scale it, you will see that those people, like in informal sector or those self-employed, they are more than those who are employed, you see?
And, yeah, and actually, also, yeah, the informal sector is actually the backbone of our economy.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Let us see. Also, look, okay, like now, okay, you talked about tax.
Mm.
You see? You will see someone who is just selling something there. You see? Like this order with me, most of the things.
Yeah.
Those people are also also generating money, or maybe have a tax shop or a mini shop and so on.
Mm.
You see? Without them even being classified as taxpayer. You see, that person is just generating income just like that.
Yeah.
More than someone who is earning 10,000 or 9,000 to be taxed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe we must also understand that. We must also try to understand, because that's why in Namibia, we will only say that, no, that person is employed. But if we start up with our business, let the government come in and support that, use that industry, that system, those people.
Mm.
Let me say those people.
Yeah.
If you see that this person is trying, Minister of whatever, industrialization, whatever we call it, trade, should also have a data to say that, okay, you register, although it's not with DIPA, maybe SME or whatever you call it,
yeah,
then you register those people also to have, you see now, for you to know that, okay, how many people are street vendors, how many people, let me have shabins, how many people are having taxis, how many people, you at least then you know, you see, how to deal with it.
Yeah,
then
exactly.
They can come up with an insurance, as you say that. What if the tax is broken?
Yeah.
You see? At least then you educate them to say you must not go down, even though maybe you are shabin or whatever, bent down. At least there is a portion of insurance, like maybe part of like social security, or that person, if they are in maternity, let me say now, a woman driving a taxi, you see, operating a taxi. Because now you will find women operating taxis. What if she's on maternity, you see? Those are the things which they should also bring up. Then we'll see. Maybe we might try to balance something there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for us now, just to focus on foreign investors, come here and give us employment. No, we must also learn how to own, you see, businesses, how to be self-employed.
Yeah.
We did it even before the colonizer came here. People were self-employed, you see, working in Mahangu field, having cattle and so on.
Mm.
We didn't rely on someone. But now this system of being employed is what is making us poor and will be slaves until Jesus comes.
Yeah,
sometimes, yes, it's not to say that we cannot work, but let us also, the backbones, like these self-employed people owning businesses, let them also come up.
Yeah. They're not being supported, you know.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They must be supported. Look, you will find people who started marketing or business management and so forth. You see? Just after graduation, that person is crying in the street. Why can't they also say, okay, those who, if you have an idea, please approach this, organization or this, whatever, this ministry for assistance. Then if the person is released, give him an opportunity so that we can see. Like even if we see at these tenderpreneurs, those who are getting tenders.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They are not even plowing back to the community. Not at all.
Exactly. The other things you can see really is that how many companies that the SMEs that actually grow into a big companies now, we don't see that progressions, you know, someone started and actually grow into a company now that be able now to contract it to bigger projects and things like that. We always have then companies that coming from outside that are doing that. But our own company, our own SME, they never really grow to any point. You know?
Yes, that's why they will end up now using these jujus. You see, at least, maybe. You see? Yeah, most of them will now say, "This, let me go this side."
Yeah.
Maybe, you see, yeah, join the dark forces.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
That's why we see that, because there is no opportunity. You will find someone on the mini market before independence.
Yeah.
It's just there, stagnant there.
Yeah.
It's not growing. But we must pump in and say, okay, expand.
And eventually ending up closing, actually, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they are also competing with these supermarkets, with these foreign investors.
Yeah. No, I can tell you one. I'm a citizen of Abodiba. There's one mini market that we used to go to much. It used to be flourish. And next to it, they actually put, you know, Rani. You know, and then what happened? This actually started to dwindle, to actually go down. Eh?
Yes, what they can do, you can bring Rani, you can bring Shoprite, but at least operating hours should be different. You see?
But even that, if you haven't support this one, you know, the local one, so definitely there will be things are more cheaper on the other side than actually here.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. At least if you can't, because sometimes our laws and policies also, you see? Yeah, maybe then you can come up with operating hours. You see? You say, okay, a supermarket like Rani or ShopRite, please 8 up to 4 or 5. You see? To give opportunities, because 6, 7, 8 of them, maybe people can now run to that person, at least for him to collect something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you will find some shops until 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
7 to 7. What is that now? When will this person also get something?
You, actually, you would have actually, Rani is the one who is opening late.
Yes.
Than this one.
Yeah.
It's the other way around that you're suggesting. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you will find Rani opening 7 o'clock, 7 to 7. You see, Sunday also, they operate on Sunday.
Yeah.
Imagine you say, okay, weekend 12 o'clock, you close.
Yeah.
Until Monday. At least that weekend, at least this person can sell also.
Mm.
We are not saying that, no, they must not, but at least the government should look at that to empower our people also, for them to grow. And also this black, Namibian employers must also start. Some of them, like these tenderpreneurs, those who are getting tenders, even security, in security, industry or fishing or whatever, they must also stop underpaying their fellow people, you see, citizens. Seriously, that is disheartening, because the thing is, even the foreigners, when they come, those business people come, politicians or lawmakers, they are also the one who is making everything difficult.
Yeah.
When they pass the law, they know exactly that it will bite them. Then they will even look at this national minimum wage. It's pathetic, you see, because they know that should they, security officers pay $18 per hour, it will bite them. That's why they even opted for $13, you see, for $13. But if they could have started to say that, no, look, let us just, because for a person, imagine for a person working 12 hours or 14 hours a day, you see, you are paying the person $13 per hour. Does it make sense? Not at all.
It doesn't.
Yeah, not at all.
It doesn't.
Mm. But the problem is, who will keep hold them accountable? They are the lawmakers themselves. You see, they are the business people themselves. They, it's just like rotational grazing. They are there.
Yeah.
They are the referees. They are the players. They are whatever. They are the spectators. You see, they are just pushing us everywhere because they know. Now, what should be done? At least I thought maybe to say, if you are a lawmaker, please, can't we investigate those people? If you have business, please, don't take them there. You see, if they are business people, but most of them, let me say maybe 95% or 96% of our lawmakers are business people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is what is making it difficult.
Exactly.
Because a business person will not like someone to grow. Not at all. Not at all. He will just oppress you to work for him until, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
No, thanks for coming through, yeah?
Chop, chop.
All right, our time is about 26 minutes past the hour of 9. And, so if you have something really, really, really burning that you want to say before we end, we still have about 4 minutes, and we can always borrow 2 minutes from Mr. Helmut. So you may come through and say what you want to say. So, but we were saying, as Mr. Brown, we're talking about the economist, we're talking about, you know, tax system actually holding us back. All right. So he says that, so what he says that we don't have income problems. That he said, we don't have income problem. The government has income, but we have a priority and spending problem. Okay. So he argues that instead of using our system to make it easier for business to open, that's exactly what we're talking about now. So to open, grow, and hire people, we actually burden them. You know, we burden them. So we are making it too expensive and too complicated to do business in Namibia. So the corporate taxes, the dividend taxes, and the red tape, it all adds up. It all adds up. And so business don't invest, or they stay small, like as you said, tell us any business that have grown in Namibia, or they leave, if it's a foreign investment. And who get hurt? The everyday Namibian looking for a job. That's the one who get hurt. So he say we have everything we need to be successful story. Everything. So we have the institution,
We have the good infrastructure. Our roads are better than many. So we have incredible natural resources, from diamond to uranium to our new oil and green hydrogen potential. So, and we all, we have a small and manageable population. So we have it all. We have it all. Eh? So we have all the ingredients for a delicious meal. You know? But he says our policy is the wrong recipe. Our policy is the wrong recipe. We are mixing the ingredient in a way that doesn't work. Okay? Which just doesn't work. So the investment we do get, and it's mostly in mining, because that's where the big money is. And those companies can afford to navigate our complex system. So, but what about, you know, what about other sectors? Sectors like tourism, sectors like manufacturing, sectors like technology. So what about those sectors? They are being held back. So they are being held back. So what is the way forward? So our time is 29 and it's past the hour of 9. So what is the way forward? So the expert gave a few clear recommendations. So sign more of those double tax treaties that we talked earlier. Make it safe for foreign money. So create clear, simpler rules for things like transfer pricing. So I gave you an example how that are being applied. So give investors certainty. So within things like advancing pricing agreement, which are basically tax deals you make up front. So and finance people understand that. And most importantly, shift our mindset. Shift our mindset. Focus on what creates real jobs and prosperity. Well, the NDP6 seem to do that. But as we talk about priority and implementation in terms of money, where do you put the money now? So focus on what creates jobs and prosperity, and not just what looks good on a policy document. All right? So this is not about selling our country. It's about being smart. It's about using global money and skills to build our own nations. They are available. Let's use them. And I want you to think about this. So this is not just a report for politicians, as we see. So this is about our lives. It's about why it's so hard to find work. So it's about why the price of everything keeps going up, but our salaries don't. That's why. So let's start asking these questions. Let's talk about it at the dinner table, as Kanjengo used to say. So talk about it at dinner table. Talk about it at the shebeen with your friends, you know. So talk about it. Let's demand a system that turns our incredible potential into a real prosperity for all of us. Because potential doesn't pay the bill. Potential, it doesn't pay the bills. Well, that's all what we have for you this morning, and thank you for those who took part, who participated on the show this morning, and thank you for listening. And so let's do that again tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM. So I'm leaving you, and if you want a little bit of a smile, if you wanted to smile a little bit, well, stay tuned, because coming up is a comedy show, Mind the Gap with Helmut. From me, Marco Chavelli, until tomorrow, bye for now.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.